The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Cece, you look radiant as always.
Thank you, Peter. You look actually look very radiant. I quite like your jumper as well.
Thank you. I see ghosts.
You should just stick to the just lucky me part.
Oh, yeah. Well, lucky me.
Lucky
me that I'm on Zoom with you.
Ah, listen to that. It's already started. Okay, I like the tone already.
Listen, I love your tone. Do you know what? I just love everything about you.
Do you know I like what we've done today? We've matched without meaning to with our wet hair. We've gone for the wet hair look.
We have gone for the wet hair look. It looks like we both swum to this episode.
Yeah, or just turned up prepared, yeah.
Yeah, or turned up prepared, yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm great. I'm fabulous.
Great. Well,
how are you?
Do you know what? I am bouncy today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got a spring in his step.
Got a spring in my step. I feel bouncy. I've slept well for a change.
Oh my God, there's lots going on.
Yeah, I feel great. So for everyone else, we hope everyone else is okay. This is The Dating Show, and this is a very special episode. It is Cece's Dating Show featuring myself, because we are talking about Cece's favourite subject, something that she's spoken about nonstop and mentioned in every single show, I think, for the past 6-7 months. What's the topic, Cece? Introduce your topic.
That was a drum roll, but I didn't have
Do you want me to do it again and then you shout it?
Okay, go.
Okay, so this is a very special episode where we're going to be talking about Cece's favourite subject, something that she speaks about an awful lot, something that she really believes in and something that she believes makes the world go round. Cece, what is it?
Communication.
Communication.
So we're going to be talking about what we're doing right now. We are communicating as people. And if everyone could just communicate like us in a relationship, how happy would your relationship be?
Exactly. Because I tell you something, mine and Cece's friendship is the best because we communicate.
We communicate.
Because we are the circle of love.
Circle of love. We ask questions. We speak our truth.
We check in.
We use our emotional, not intelligence, but that emotional side, and we communicate the emotions. Because if you don't know where you stand, really quite annoying.
Exactly. And you know where I stand? I don't know, but I did it and then thought, I look quite cute.
You do look quite cute.
So do you. So do you know where I stand right now?
Tell me, where do you stand?
I stand right with you because you're my favourite.
It just keeps coming today. I like it.
So we are going to be discussing that. We are also going to have the listeners' questions and advice. There is no guest this week because Cece and I feel like we can handle this one alone. Cece is effectively
requested. we have our own show where we don't bring anyone on because
we're just sick of. Do you know what? We're just sick of people trying to jump in on our time.
Right? It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
So this week it's just Cece and I. So if you're not interested in Cece and I, time to switch off. So before we do the weird and wonderful dating news, listeners' questions and stories and all that, you are listening to FUBAR Radio and The Dating Show. And we're going to start with what, Cece?
Your sext book.
It's time to entertain. It's time to educate and entertain.
Education station. Let's do this. I'm ready this week. My hair is wet and I'm ready.
At least it's just your hair that's wet. So
okay.
This week, I believe there are other names for this term.
Okay.
All right, but this week it's the shocker.
Is that what it is? It is the shocker.
It's called the shocker. We are gearing up to Halloween, so I thought, you know, the shocker sounded quite good.
Okay, but it isn't anything to do with Halloween.
No, it's not about fucking a pumpkin. It's not about fucking a pumpkin or anything.
Is it? You've stolen my idea. That was what
Sorry.
It is. Okay, well, I just thought it was fucking pumpkin. So educate me. What is it?
So it's a sex act when someone sticks their index and middle finger.
Yeah.
Inside a vagina.
Right.
So digitally penetrating. Your thumb is also free then for clitoral stimulation, but then surprises them by then putting their pinky.
Oh, I got you.
In the arse.
Oh, I don't know if I can even put my hand in that position. Right, that's called the shocker.
Yes, I'm ambidextrous, so I can do it with both hands.
Oh God, that's so much going on.
But the shocker is that I mean, I have to take my rings off for that because that could cause some sort of bother. But yes, it's when a pinky enters the arse during digital stimulation.
Why digital? I don't get the digital part.
Because these are your digits.
Oh, I understand.
Yes, it's not.
Okay, that's quite. It's educational. It's not as shocking as I thought the shocker would be. But how
it's a shocker for them because you do it.
Imagine
you surprise them. So whilst you are finger fucking someone, mm-hmm. you just slip in the pinky. That noise was unnecessary.
It's okay. Don't worry. We don't judge on the show. Remember.
I'm sorry, everyone.
I got you. Don't worry. I'm still here.
Thank you. I don't think anyone else is. So that is the shocker.
The shocker.
Yeah, it's a shocking pinky.
So question then, because you said about your ring. So when you feel like a shocker, this doesn't have to be hypothetically speaking, would someone who wears rings, when they decide on the shocker, would they just like slyly slip off the rings?
Well, listen, if you are heavily clad in rings, sometimes, as I am, mm-hmm. then sometimes it is best to take them off when finger fucking anyway. Just because, you know, some of mine are quite big. And if you are really going for it, especially it's quite heavy. Do you know what I mean? You don't.
You should be quite prepared then.
If I'm finger fucking, I'm prepared.
So it's not a shocker.
Well, it is a shocker because they don't know. Because finger fucking, presumably you don't surprise someone with fingers. Presumably you're already fingering them. You surprise them just with the finger, just the pinky, in the arsehole.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I was going to go again.
He's still going because he still loves it.
I just do. I love it.
I watched that back a lot, the clip of you singing.
I have not managed to watch it yet because I'm still...
You should.
I'm sort of slightly embarrassed at myself, but, you know, let's move on.
Brilliant.
Weird and wonderful dating news. Weird and wonderful dating news.
Weird and wonderful. Okay, let's go. Coffee's definitely kicked in. So... First one. This one's quite funny. So a man leaves everyone fuming over pathetic gift for girlfriend following fallout. Man has found himself in hot water on social media after sharing the thoughtful gifts he brought for his girlfriend in an attempt to smooth things over after a big row. Jack took to Twitter to share three gifts he purchased for his partner alongside a cheeky note which left some people in stitches and other fuming. He shared a photo of the presents, which included a beautiful bouquet of roses, nice, a box of Thornton's chocolates.
Cliche, but nice.
Yeah, and a box of Tampax.
Eh?
The note said, the chocolates are because I love you.
Oh.
The flowers are because I'm sorry.
Oh.
And the Tampax is because I'm still not sure why I'm apologising, so I guess you'll need these any day now. Jack, you fucked up.
Right, at the risk of sounding and having the entire female population hate me, and also I'm going to speak on behalf of you a little bit here.
Hang on, this is a subject that I... Okay, go on.
But
be careful now.
I'm gonna hazard a guess that this is taken out of context slightly. And I imagine if he has got the bollocks like that, it's quite funny because I imagine that they have that sort of relationship. That's what I'm hoping. And if that's the case, it's quite funny.
Straight up, boy. So everyday circumstance. Well, it depends on your humor type, right? Okay, it depends what you find funny and what you find not. I personally find it funny. However,
I did speak.
But the thing is, if she's about to come on a period, do not be making fucking jokes for me. No, straight up no. That is taken personally. That is a sensitive subject. You never, listen, men out there, communication, right? That is our subject this week. You never take the piss or if you're questioning it, don't do it. If it's anything to do with a female being on her period, because your hormones are all over the place and it's already frustrating being a woman and being in that situation, to then have your partner do something that's slightly insensitive and also unsupportive. Pete, you're just looking at me because you ain't got nothing for this one, have you? Then don't do it. Don't ever. The worst you can say to a woman, I think a friend said this to me once, he went, oh, is it time of month? Or, oh, someone's on a period. You never say it. Okay? Note to all the men out there, never push the boat. Never. Okay, good. Pete, look at your face. I've never seen you so quiet.
No, listen, I'm not going to argue there because, listen, I'm a man, so I don't understand it. And I don't understand the hormone kind of thing if you are going through
Maybe
that.
We should do a subject. We'll have a subject on hormones.
So I'm not going to take the piss. I'm just hoping, because it is insensitive if they haven't got that kind of relationship. I'm hoping that actually she found that funny.
I mean, because what was the title that she's...
Man leaves everyone fuming because everyone else has probably just taken it as what's an insensitive bastard. But if they have got that sort of relationship, then, and I imagine if he did it with a smile on his face, then I don't know. I'm just hoping it's that way and not him being insensitive.
I mean, if he put that on Twitter, I'd probably write something underneath that as well.
I mean, yeah, putting it on Twitter is probably not the
best idea. Sounds a bit immature, I'm not going to lie. If you're going to put that shit on Twitter, you're a bit immature. I'm going to stand up for this woman right now. No, do you know what? No, that's it. That's it. End of subject. End of conversation. Done. Okay. Never fucking say or go near periods, people.
Yes, never go near periods. Anyway, now, moving on. I'm an animal lover.
As is she. Oh, is this one that's gone a bit too far with the animals?
No, it's an animal that's gone... Well, no, actually not. It's an animal that's having fun.
Okay, come on.
Researchers recalled a wild chimpanzee using a man-made object as a sex toy for the first time ever. A chimpanzee called Areli has been caught masturbating with a plastic bottle in what is the first time a chimp has been seen using a man-made object as a sex toy. Scientists have released footage of a male chimpanzee living in Uganda where he can be seen inserting his penis into an empty plastic bottle. For 25 seconds, he made pelvic thrusting movements into the bottle, which he positioned flat on the ground in front of him. The scientists reported that the male chimp had on a play face, a relaxed open mouth expression, which they make when they are having fun or experiencing something pleasurable. Male chimpanzees exhibit penile erections in various contexts besides sexual arousal, such as food excitement and during some social interactions, including play. They wrote, the physical properties of the open bottle presumably provoked Aureli's autoerotic response, suggesting he recognized its suitability for the purpose. So, chimp fucks bottle.
It didn't say though whether he climaxed. Yeah,
I knew that's what you'd be thinking.
Well, we need the full story, really, don't we? You can't just say he wanked and nothing happened. Like it's like a, you know, we need a full stop.
So anyone that has the full stories that could, you know, call in and let CC know whether or not the monkey climax, that
it
would be great.
It was a chimpanzee.
The chimpanzee climax, that would be great. Georgia is our producer, our wonderful producer, who we speak about quite a lot. Everyone say hello to Georgia.
Hello.
Georgia.
Georgia she's seen the video. She's seen the video numerous times.
Yeah, she watched it. Did you just say, she has, hasn't she? Over and over again.
And for anyone that wants to know, Areli the chimpanzee did not climax. So
okay.
So he is on the search for a new bottle. Now, he did it for 25 seconds. Now, I'm wondering, 25 seconds, by that point, I've normally climaxed and I'm in the midst of a cuddle afterwards. I wonder if he cuddled the bottle when he finished.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, if you got that information. Georgia, did he cuddle the bottle after?
Yeah, was there any sort of... Also, aftercare. There was no aftercare for the bottle. So, listen, Areli should probably listen to this show, because we can give you suggestions on aftercare after you have had sex. What sort of aftercare do you like after sex?
It depends who it is.
Oh, well, sometimes it's just wham, bam, thank you, man. But if you actually like the person, you'd like some aftercare?
Oh, good. You just took the words right out of my mouth. What's your aftercare regime?
It's normally getting dressed while I wait for the Uber. No, I joke.
What? He jokes.
I'm joking. I'm very affectionate. I am a tactile, affectionate person, Cece.
So what, do you big spoon, little spoon them? Or do you lay on your chest? What do you do?
I'm happy for people to lay on my chest. I am a big spoon, though.
You're a big spoon. So
I'm not a little spoon.
Would your preference be, would you like someone to lay on your chest or would you like to spoon them after?
I think it's more of a chest thing.
Chest thing.
Yeah, because it's you're still quite open, because after sex you're still quite sweaty and hot.
Yeah.
You know? So then do you like straight into the spoon, it's clammy. Not for me. I'm not interested in clammy.
No, I don't like, that's why you need talc. A little bit of talcum powder sorts that out, FYI. I don't know why everyone looks at me funny when I say I use talcum powder. I fucking love talcum powder. It removes any of that annoying clam. Clam is the worst thing. Like when you hold someone's hand, you're like, I want to hold your hand, but you're just fucking clammy. A bit of talcum powder.
Sorry, can I...
carry it around with me.
Yeah, do you carry talcum powder around with you?
No, but I just use it after a shower.
You know when you go into like a nightclub and they search your bag and that, do they sometimes...
What's she got here? Yeah.
Do they sometimes go, right, yeah, no, chewing gum. What's this? And you've got Johnson's talcum powder. Hello. It's just in case I get clammy or lucky.
If I could, I would. And that is not a joke. Because I can't be asked to carry bags. I rarely take bags out of me when I go out. But if I could, and there was a small enough bottle, something I could put... Right, if someone wants to make me a talcum powder that I can take out of me on a Saturday night, I would love you forever.
Cece,
I love a bit of talc.
Christmas is around the corner, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is.
I am going to be on the search for a handy carry-sized talcum powder.
If they can make hand sannies...
dispenser for you.
They can make hand powders.
Talkies.
So hang on, you don't use talcum powder?
No.
Oh.
I don't know any man that does use talcum powder, you know.
I introduce it to all my boyfriends and then they like me for it.
Okay.
Okay. I love this.
Okay.
Okay. Should we move on?
Please, yes. Please, let's move on from your... dusty after sex talc situation.
Okay, for everyone out there that doesn't use it, try it once, because you can't judge until you try it. It's a nice feeling. Sometimes at night, before I get to bed, I put it on. It feels silky against my own skin. Feels silky. I do not know. I don't get what the problem is here. Why are you judging me?
Do you know what the problem is for me? It's just the idea of you just patting yourself down with all this dust coming off just before bed.
Yeah.
Or you having sex, and that's not a terrible thought, Cece.
Thank you. Right.
But then afterwards, just going, come on, jump up. Let's tack you up before bed to a man.
But that's bulk you up, do I? You know, it's a couple of dates first before I can introduce it.
But
it takes a while.
I'm sorry, but now in my head, all I've got is you going, come on, it's tap time.
Do you know what the most important part for them is? It's because it goes everywhere, right? So then they always know when I've been around because the talc's all over the fucking floor. Anyway, that's more information. So let's...
Do you know what I would do? If I was your boyfriend and you did that, I would one day have to swap the talc for flour or something just to be funny and then watch you flour yourself up like a donut.
Thank you. I'm sure my next boyfriend will do that now that you've given him.
So anyone listening, whoever gets the sweet, sweet opportunity.
Pleasure of seeing me talk.
of enjoying Cece's love and then watching her talk, please.
Right. Can someone make that me with feel flour. Better? To all our listeners, can someone make me feel a little bit better about myself right now? And if you use talcum powder, please send me a DM and let me share it.
Yes, please send her a DM. If you are
I won't share it, it'll just make me feel better.
Yeah, listen, Cece is looking for people to join her talc team. So if you are part of that group of people, then please let her know.
Why is Georgia not popped up? Usually she saves me in this shit. Georgia, come on, sort me out. Help me out here. Do you use talcum powder? You just did a marathon. Surely you talked. Surely.
Yeah,
you
but that's
talked.
For chafing. Oh, Georgia, our producer has come in with a solid nope.
Okay, well, you've cut, sorry, no in general, but when you did your marathon, did you not use talcum powder to, you know, help certain areas?
Yeah, but that's for chafing. I mean, I don't know how good your sex is. Is it like running a marathon? Yeah. No talc, no talc.
Not even the fucking marathon.
Yes, for anyone...
But I don't... Hey, listen, I don't talc up to have sex.
Oh, she's still going.
Okay, let's move on. I'm ready. Okay.
Let's move on from Dusty Cece. So this week's topic is communication. Thank you for communicating your talc situation with us.
That's all right. It'll help someone else.
Exactly. Every week we joke about Cece's favourite thing in the world, which is communication, isn't it? She talks about it. And we've had about 7 months of this show now.
Yeah.
But we've been doing the show for an awful long time, but we've never actually had communication as a topic. So, Cece, as this is your forte, your expertise, and the thing that you love most in the world besides me, I think you should take it away. So come on, give it to us, my dusty princess.
Well, I'll tell you a little story. So some of you that have listened to the show might have, might know this, might not. If you're new, welcome. But I'm a massive, massive fan of therapy. I read a lot of books. I enjoy people and listening to their stories. It's always just been a fascination of mine. And I had, and I would say, the pleasure of going to a couples therapist with a partner I was with for about 18 months. And my God, did I learn. I learned more than I've ever learned in all my therapy sessions. Being in a situation where there's three people, you've got someone sort of mediating the session. And all we did was communicate. All we did was talk to each other, because there's only so much you can pick up from someone's body language, which is a form of communication, right? But if you're not listening or looking at your partner, how the hell are you meant to know what's going on? So when you're in an argument and, you know, sometimes we fly off the handle and you could be doing the washing up, your back to them, and you're going for gold, shouting, whatever, getting arsy. And you haven't looked at your partner to see where they're at. They haven't checked in, and you haven't asked them how they are or checked in. And that's what happened in these sessions. So when I'd fly off the handle, our therapist would say, look at your partner. And I'd think, fucking, I know what she's going to do here. And I'd look over and he would look.
He would be in the corner, crouched, rocking back and forth, scared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if I had carried on in my little own tangent, I wouldn't have known that. So firstly, there's a lot that you can see by just looking at your partner, and also the language you use when you're talking to your partner. So when we're in an argument, we're very good at saying, you know, you're an asshole.
I hate you. Cut your hair. You look fucking stupid. You look old and tired. Oh, sorry. That's just...
Is that what they will say to you? Okay. Well, but they might, do you know what they might say to you, Pete? Like, you make me angry, right? So with that lack of communication, you make me angry. What are you meant to do with that? You go, right, okay, she's just told me I make her angry. And then you've got to figure out why she's made you angry. Rather than saying that, one brilliant thing I learned in couples therapy was speaking from I. Go on, you're going to say something?
No, let's carry on.
Speak from I. So rather than saying you make me, tell that person how it
makes I'm you angry angry. Because?
Or I feel frustrated when you... Don't look at me when you're talking to me. I feel frustrated when you're on the phone. Yeah. Okay. So there's things you can say, right, that can communicate the situation better. And then you've intervened. So there's no, like, you haven't gone hundreds and arguing, whatever, because you've intervened, because you've communicated in the right way. Speak from I. If you're going to learn anything from today, speak from I.
Speak from I. That's actually, I've not heard that before. I love that. Speak from I.
Rather than you. You're an arsehole. Doesn't help anyone. Makes you more angry. Speak from I. I feel like you're an arsehole. There you go. Problem solved.
Got it. Right, yeah. Got it.
There you go.
Listen, I feel like I'm going to learn a lot today because, as you know, therapy is not something that I am attuned to. I've not done it, and I'm not very good at it.
You have a session on a TV show?
Yes.
So was that? I mean, it was still a session, right? Whether it was on TV or not, obviously
it was still a session. And I've got friends that are therapists and all that sort of stuff, but I struggle. So this is actually quite a big one for me, and something you're going to probably hate me for, but something I imagine you are not going to be surprised about.
Go on.
My communication in a relationship. When I'm out, I'm a very good communicator, I would say. I'm very open with people and whatever else. My communication in a relationship is horrendous. And it's probably the reason the majority of my relationships don't work out.
So at what point, when you say your communication is horrendous, because obviously it's not, because we do a show every week, we communicate every week, right?
I don't talk about my feelings. I don't talk about emotions. I'm not very good at that sort of thing. And I think that is a lot of the reason. So I don't express how I'm feeling very often by telling someone exactly how I'm feeling. So I expect people to either guess or assume that they will just know. And I don't...
Why?
Because I'm not comfortable doing it. And that's a me problem, not a them problem. I completely understand that. It's probably one of the things that I find hardest is emotional communication. Mm-hmm. Communication on any other level, I find really, really easy. I spend the majority of my life, most of my work is communicating with people. And I would say that I am adequate at that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to emotional communication, I'm fucking terrible.
So it's always a bit of a guessing game. So someone that might date you might be guessing, you know, where's Pete at? What does Pete, how does he feel? Does he really like me? Is he really into this? Or has he gone off me? And then that person's, questioning, which then breaks down the communication even more, right?
Yeah, and then it starts a snowball of issues, I would say. Bad communication is probably the root of... in fact, there's a stat that says communication problems are the most common factor that leads to divorce. But I imagine that the other 35% of reasons probably stem from bad communication in the first place anyway. Because if you aren't communicating properly with your partner, then it snowballs into other things and maybe, you know, whether it be people having affairs or people doing what else, if you can't communicate and be open with your partner, then maybe that does lead you to look elsewhere. Maybe it does lead you to do other things, or maybe it does lead you to make the mistakes that, you know, aren't necessarily so. So I think this is a fabulous topic, and I'm glad that I have such an expert like you to guide myself and all of our listeners through it.
Well, thank you for calling me an expert. It cracks me up when people say that, because I am definitely not. And I obviously, as much as I'm able to speak, and I find certain elements of speaking very, very easy, right? Communicating, I find it quite, it's a go-to for me. However, when you're vulnerable, that's when it becomes a challenge, I think, for most people, and definitely including myself, to be able to speak. So when you're in a position where you're like, I've actually got to speak my heart, I've got to say something now that is from within, the thing I guard most preciously and look after, my heart, now I've got to try and say something that might, I'm up for judgment. So you're probably fully aware of this. Women, some men do it too, but we're quite good at, you know, that whole, babe, what's up? Nothing. Babe, what's up? Nothing. Babe, there's definitely something up. No, I'm absolutely fine. Usually about the fifth time a guy's ass will go, well, this is what happened. You know, you didn't say this and you didn't do it. And, you know, and then we get it out because we're scared of being judged on our response. When actually, if we just responded the first time and just said, you know what? I don't like it when you come home and you don't say hello to me or give me a hug. How much easier would that be if we just said what the problem was?
Yeah.
When it hasn't got so heated and then you've communicated. And the main thing, another thing I got from couples therapy is fuck it. Fuck it. Like if you, that's how you feel, that's your truth.
Sounds like something you get from sex therapy.
Well, she did talk about that as well. The communication is, it overlaps into so many different areas.
Move on to that one. That one.
We're going to get to that. But the main, you are you, right? Everyone is there. We're all our own makeup. And that's what makes us wonderful. And that's why our partners are initially attracted to us, is because we're individual. So if we're trying to hide our feelings and we're scared to speak because we're worried about being judged, you're actually just removing yourself from bonding with somebody. We've all had our issues. We've all had our upbringings. We've all had our childhoods. And we've all had our other relationships that have, you know, maybe made us a bit more jaded. So it is what it is. If you're always trying to hide and not speak your truth, then you're never really going to bond with somebody. If you open up, God, it's the most beautiful thing for someone to see when you can open a heart and communicate how you're feeling.
I completely and utterly agree with you. However,
love the however, give it to me.
some people just find that really difficult. And it's the same as anything. There's lots of things in the world that some people find easy and some people find difficult. And whenever someone finds something easier to do, it's a lot easier to say that than to actually do it if you're one of them people that are quite, like, I find it really, really hard to talk about emotional things. Mm-hmm. I have tried, and I just find it really, really difficult, and I haven't found a way to crack that. I completely agree that communication is completely key and it would make everything a lot easier, but it's not as easy for some people to just do that,
I fully respect that. And I haven't always I'm on the journey too, you know. I'm not there. God, I really, really, really struggle sometimes. But I think if you don't know where you're at in it and you don't know how you feel about it, but you've heard, say, you know, more than two people say to you, your communication skills I really struggle with. If two different partners have said that, it's probably something you need to work on. If three or more have said it, it's more than likely it's something that maybe you should look at if you want to get better at, you know, self-development, being communicating better. If it's something that you want to work on and you've heard people say, yeah, I can't get in to you because you just block me, then maybe it's something, talking to someone about it, reading a book on it. Start with a book. Don't talk to someone if it's too hard. Read a book on it.
You are a magician.
I've got many a book that I can recommend as well, just saying.
Excellent. That's going to be me getting a great big DHL parcel tomorrow.
Or a sponsorship.
Sponsorship, yes, to Communicators Are Us.
Anybody want to get, yeah.
One thing that I would sound very good at, though, is nonverbal communication.
Well, that comes down to love languages, exactly.
So one of the most important things for me from day dot, from the minute you meet someone, is eye contact. And that's something that I think is super important throughout a relationship, whether you've been married 50 years, whether you're married, whatever else it is. It's really important, you know, not just in a relationship either. I think it's really important in any situation, whether it be friendships, whether it be whatever, is because that's about staying present, isn't it? It's about giving someone the respect to look them in the eye when you're talking to them. I'm also quite tactile and whatever else. You know, when I've got the fucking hump, my entire face changes, everything. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
And I think you're probably similar.
Oh, my face, it speaks exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I've never seen you angry. I've never, you know, but I assume that you're quite similar to me on that as well. Whereas some people, and I've dated people before, are like, it's like a blank page.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Completely. And you're like, are you happy? Are you sad?
Hungry?
It's like having a baby. Have you shit yourself? Are you hungry? I don't know. and actually, you know, I think, yeah, that's a massive, massively important part of communication as well, is the nonverbal side of stuff. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that sort of overlaps into when I shouted very loudly, love languages, because I'm very excited to start talking about those as well. So the love languages, I think we've discussed this or touched on it before. Love languages are your way of giving and receiving love. And when you can kind of work out what yours are and share that with a partner, you know where you stand. So go on.
One of yours is touch, no?
Tactile, it's a physical touch and quality time are my top two.
And I would say touch is probably one of mine as well.
So this is perfect then. So when you're in a bad mood, right, or you're pissed off about something, right, and someone came and bought you dinner, that might not have as big an effect as if someone came over and went and just gave you a hug.
Well, weirdly enough, in some ways it's the opposite. So if I'm in a bad mood, I don't want anyone near me. However, if someone else is in a bad mood or someone is upset or whatever else, one of the first things that I would do is go and hug them or go and, you know, because sometimes people don't want to talk, you know, but you can express and communicate with someone love through, you know, if someone is upset, you don't have to say, tell me what's wrong. By hugging someone, you're saying 100%. Something, you're saying something yourself. So I'm one of them people, if I'm angry or I'm sad or I'm upset, I have to be on my own. I don't want to be touched. I don't want fucking anyone near me. Mm-hmm. When I'm happy, I'm very tactile, I'm whatever else. But as soon as I see someone else who is, which is why I would say it's a love language for me, because I use that.
Yeah.
I use that an awful lot. I use being tactile and I use touch as a way of communicating with people more so than I probably do speaking.
Well, that perfect, right? Again, then another perfect example. If you could communicate that to a partner, listen, when I'm upset, it's not personal. I just need my space.
Yeah.
I just need to remove myself from this situation. Because, I mean, I'm sure many a time women have gone, what's wrong? Why are you not talking to me? Like, I don't get it. And then all they're trying to do is they're trying to connect with you in their way of sharing their love language. And all you are just, it's not personal right now. I just need a fucking second.
Yeah.
Or day or whatever it is you need. But if you can communicate that and say, babe, you know what? I need 24 hours when I'm pissed off, then at least that person knows. So they're not wondering, oh my God, is he never coming back? No, you just need 24 hours. You just need some space.
Another part of communication, and listen, tell me if I'm wrong here, because I don't know loads about this, but listening is super important in communication. It's all well and good someone telling you stuff, and it's all well and good you telling people that, but if you don't listen to someone and what they're saying, then that's going to break communication down in the same thing. It's all well, do you know what I'm saying there? Am I right by saying this?
Oh yeah, I've got more to say. I'm just waiting for you to finish.
Sorry. Listening is something that I think I'm good at. I've got listening is something that I can do, and listening is something that I think is super, super important. It's the speaking part that I'm not. But a lot of people, how many times have you gone to tell someone something or try to tell them how you're feeling, and you just know they're not fucking listening to you. Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing what you can in terms of communication at that point, but it has to be a two-way street, surely. Someone has to listen to what someone is actually saying.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, what happens? Where do you go from there?
Is that not like every relationship's biggest problem, right? When you're you're not fucking listening.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Do I need to draw your picture? What do you need me to do? Like, say it in a different way. Do you want someone else to say it for you? Do you need, what is it? I'll write you an email. One of the best things that I have found for when I need someone to listen to me is get them to repeat it back to you. So I'll say, Pete, I feel upset because you didn't make my tea this morning in the way that I want you to. And you're like, okay, babe, I'll make you another one. No, I would like you to tell me I'm upset. I'm upset right now. And then you would repeat back, Cece, you feel upset because I didn't make your tea the right way because I just basically didn't listen to what you wanted.
Yeah, so if someone says to you, look, I find it weird that you want to tack me up every time we have sex, I don't feel comfortable with that. If you say, well, I just won't do it then. No, I don't feel comfortable. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I'd have to say, okay, I understand. It makes you feel uncomfortable that I talk you and myself before we have sex, so we don't slide.
Oh, it's before.
Said before. I do not talk before. Sometimes I do, but obviously it's not fun for them. But no, after.
It's always better with a slip and slide. Don't talk before sex.
If you've learned anything today, don't talk before sex.
No, well, no, but actually.
And I love it, but don't do it. But don't note to everyone, honestly, don't tap for sex, because it's
CC. I sometimes just don't think you realize how much I love you, and I just sometimes I just don't feel like I tell you enough. I mean, I tell you so often, but I just don't feel like I do. I just want you with me all the time. So back to communication, because I'm really enjoying this.
Okay, yeah. Can we talk about sex now?
I was just going to say, let's get on to fucking. So,
Okay, get the tuck. So, I'm going to ask you a question then. Obviously, you've said speaking emotions, you find a challenge, fine, communicating that. How do you find sharing what you like and what you don't like sexually with somebody?
It's not
a trick question, though. This is hard to say sometimes. Go on.
You're asking this presumably for the people that are listening, but I think you full well know the answer to this one, don't you?
Yes.
I find that quite easy. I'm quite open about that sort of stuff. But I think that's a lot to do with the fact that I've been single for a long time, really, and I've not had a multitude of serious relationships. So I treat sex differently, I suppose, to people that may be in a relationship. So I can see if you've been with someone, let's say, a period of time, a year, 2 years, and we had the topic of a spark, mm-hmm. keeping the spark going a long time ago. I imagine at that point, it's probably becomes more difficult to talk about sex in an open way because you become accustomed and used to a certain thing. And then to then bring something up, I imagine it's probably harder.
Yeah.
I haven't had an awful lot of long-term relationships, have I? So, but I find talking about sex, you know, I'm quite an open person when it comes to that. So from day dot, I find that fairly easy. But a lot of people don't.
If you were to put yourself, if you could try and put yourself in someone else's shoes, say, and you are 2 years down the line, whatever, because I remember actually you'd mentioned before about, like, you know, when someone's tried to dress up for you and you're not into, I mean, I know you're not into that person, but whatever it was at that moment, you know, when I know, okay, let's just cut that bit out, but hey ho. So put yourself in someone else's shoes and you're 3 years down the line and you feel like, you know, the sex is just getting a bit repetitive or whatever it is, it's just not serving you the way it used to. Do you feel like you could communicate that with your partner? And if so, how?
How? Do I feel like I could? I don't know. That's kind of a, I suppose that's quite a difficult question for me to answer because I've not really been in that situation. But I imagine if we're going on what you're saying, is expressing to someone how you feel about the sex before, is that the way to do it? So I would like to try this.
Yeah.
Because blah, 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 blah. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that?
I think it's brilliant.
I imagine that's probably the way to go. Telling someone what they're doing wrong never works well.
Yeah.
Tell someone what you don't like probably never works well. Mm-hmm. Telling people what you do like.
Positive.
And then why you would like to, is probably a nicer way of going, I assume. Going, well, don't you think that's sexy? Well, if you just sort of said to someone, you know, the sex is a bit pony, we need to spice it up.
I probably wouldn't take that well.
I'd like
to hear what that person would like.
Yeah, but presumably asking people, you know, what they think about the situation is the way to do it, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a very...
How have you done it previously and how would you do it?
I don't think I see. This is where I would struggle with that. I think because why would I actually? Do you know what? I don't know anymore because I'm a fucking woman now. It's different. I don't know. I might actually be okay with saying. I think guidance is the right word. You're guiding someone into the things that you would like to try. Yeah. I don't know. It's quite hard. I agree. It's like really quite a difficult hypothetical
question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I think now I could, like at the start, yeah, I'm very good at sharing what I like and, you know, and if it's a no-go, then it's a no-go. But I wouldn't have been able to do that 10 years ago.
Well, we are going to have to move on.
Okay, let's do it.
From communication. But before we do, I think it's safe to say for everyone listening and to me that you know more about this subject than I do. So what would you suggest is a good way for people to improve communication? If you had to give them three top tips just before we go on improving communication in your relationship, what would you say?
Oh, I love that question.
I've just put you on the spot there, babe.
That's all right. No.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Fucking hell, you're from my neck of the woods.
It's all
right.
I would say the speak from I thing. So speak from how, you know, I feel.
I love that one. I'm taking that away from today.
Yeah, that's and don't be an arsehole with it. I feel like you're an arsehole. It's not acceptable. We all know that. You know, I feel like this and speak from I. Check in. I always say this, have your check-ins. You know, even if you're shit with timing, do it every 6 weeks. Put it in the diary where you have a fucking date night and you check in. How are you? How do you feel? Is this relationship going in the direction that you want it to go in?
Okay.
I think it's a good question. Be honest.
So you've got speak from I, check in.
Check in, yeah. And a lovely one I would say is that the last one is I think we're all not amazing at sharing how much you appreciate someone. So something I used to do again through the therapy was every week we would give three appreciations. So I'd say, Pete, it could be anything. Pete, I appreciate. I appreciate.
So we do have a guest. We've got Dwella from Wasp.
I would say say, I appreciate the way that you bring your energy every time we do this. I appreciate the way that you listen to me when we have a chat. I appreciate the way you put your spoon in your tea or your coffee before we start. That could be it, okay? They don't have to be anything too deep. And it just opens up communication, and then you would say it back.
Okay. You don't have to,
by the way, because I'll get rid of it.
I'm going to. No, I find it really easy. I appreciate the way you make me feel.
Oh, God.
Is my first one. I appreciate you always being someone that I feel like I can talk openly with. And I appreciate your little hands.
She's got tiny little hands.
She's got tiny little hands, which make me feel like a real man. That was weird.
No, it wasn't weird. So
they're the things that I appreciate about you. That's a really good way to end this then. So speak from I,
check in,
and appreciation. They are three things that you can do to improve communication in your relationship, from CC Coleman featuring Pete Wicks.
I'm so not an expert, by the way. I've just had a little bit of therapy, just saying.
No, you're not an expert, but you can listen. The difference between, and CC and I say this every week, is we're not experts. We just talk from our experiences a lot of the time. And the difference between experts and going to therapists and whatever else is that they can't give you advice or tell you things to do. And we can, because, you know,
we're not qualified.
Because we're not qualified and we've been there and done it. But also everyone's very, very different. So we only speak from our experiences, and some people kind of, learn better from that sort of stuff. Again, that's to do with, you know, your brain and how you pick up on stuff. So thank you for always sharing, CC.
Thank you for always caring.
I love you. I honestly, sometimes I just think to myself, you are one of the most fabulous people I've ever met in my life.
Oh, Pete, you can stay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have a moment of like soppy fucking patheticness? Pete, thank you. Thank you for being you, for always having my back.
I got you.
It's that awful. Sounds like.
God, yeah.
Awful.
Do you know what you should have talked before you sat down.
Where is my talc? I want to show you now. I've got two.
No, I don't want to see the fucking talc now. I've had enough talc for one day.
If you need a lesson on how to apply talc, I'll do an Instagram live.
This time next week, please tune in for the dating show featuring CC Coleman and Pete Wicks, where we are discussing talc and its uses. So we are moving on to listeners' questions and stories. But before we do, you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio with myself and CC Coleman. We've just discussed communication. I feel enlightened and I feel invigorated for life following CC's revelations when it comes to communication.
Thank you. I'm sure these aren't revelations. I'm sure these are just really normal.
But they're three really good points that I think everyone could probably, you know, do with. So that's why you are just, you're the bollocks, aren't you? So, listeners, questions and stories.
Yes, let's go.
As always, every week we have different people, you know, ask us for advice, tell some stories. We're going to start, before we move on to advice, we are going to, because the advice one, I can't wait to get to.
Oh.
First story up is from Vicky. Just before we play Vicky's story, CC, can you, do you want to guess an area that she might be from? I think we should do this now.
Oh, South London.
So you've gone South London.
Mm.
I reckon that Vicky is from Manchester.
Okay.
Let's see.
I like this.
So I matched with a guy on Tinder, all going really well. And we arranged our first date, mutual venue, all, you know, quite safe, or so I thought. It turns out it was his work's Christmas party, and he had basically taken me there as his date, introduced me to all his colleagues as his girlfriend, which was absolutely mortifying. I knew nothing about him. Took the free champagne and legged it. Yeah. Tragic.
I'm going to say that Vicky's from Essex.
Oh, yeah, I think she's definitely a bit of you, isn't she? Yeah.
Right. Okay, tell me your thoughts on this.
So I think we both... we've had this chat as well about it never really being too soon to introduce people to people. Like, I would take someone to a Christmas party because I really don't give a shit. To me, it doesn't mean you are my future husband.
Yep.
It means, you know, whatever. As a joke, and I would have to have this conversation with them, communication first, I'd say, I'm going to call you my boyfriend. It's just be funny. I'm just going to wind up my boss. If that's the situation, yeah, it's quite funny. But if I'm serious saying this is my boyfriend and I've got no one to take to Christmas party and I basically hired you through a dating app, yeah, weird.
The biggest problem I have with this is the fact that he didn't tell her what they were going to. So
yeah.
Then that's a bit odd. Because I would say to someone, do you know what? I've got a work's Christmas party. Do you want to come and get... me and you have spoken before. I was going to take Cece to a wedding. Do you remember?
A little while
ago. But in the end, it didn't happen. But... And I said to you, fuck it, we'll just pretend. We'll tell everyone that you're my fucking bird. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we'll have a laugh a bit. You know, you could wander off and tell everyone, oh, God, he's shit in bed. And
I could go,
do you know what? I'm having to pay her to be, whatever it may be. but we discussed that before, and it's just a funny thing to do. So I don't see that as a bad thing. If he hasn't told her that she's going to that, then it's weird.
Yeah.
And if he's pretending that she's a bird and hasn't discussed that with her, then it's weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it sounds like there wasn't massive, from what she said.
There wasn't a lot of
communication.
But I mean, it's quite funny though.
Yeah, you've got. It depends how good you are in social situations. If I was not very good in social, I wouldn't want to go to a Christmas party or anything that involved loads of other people. So yeah, you have got to let that person know.
Yeah, completely agree. But on the plus side, Vicky, loads of free champagne, babe. So
yeah. You know and I mean? Who doesn't love a Christmas party? Fucking hell.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I love a party, but I hate Christmas.
Oh, here we go. Scrooge is out.
Yes. Vicky, also, let us know. Are you from Essex?
Essex. Okay.
Okay, shall we move on? Can you just take 2 minutes to yourself? Not 2 minutes, because we don't have that long. But just take 2 seconds to yourself and just... Can you just put your advice cap on again?
I'm definitely going to. I'm going to read this one because I think it should be read.
I knew you were going to read this one.
I'm definitely going to read it. So this is, I'm going to try and do it completely blank and emotionless and not able to speak emotions or share emotions. Dating advice from someone called Katie. Should we guess where Katie's from?
I'll tell you what, if I guess where she's from, you have to do the accent.
Oh, fuck. Go on then.
I think Katie's Welsh.
Hang on, wheels? Is that Welsh?
Wheels?
Wheels.
What, like on a bike?
Right, that's how I'm doing it then. Okay, I'm going to say it in a wheels accent. I can't do it. I can't. I'm so shit. Wait, Welsh, wheels. What?
Sorry, I'm just trying to do Welsh in my...
Oh, I'm just... How do you say it? Go on, do it for me. And I'll...
From the valleys.
From the valleys.
From the valleys. Welsh.
Perfect guy. Terrible penis from the valleys. 6 dates in. Ditch your keep. I don't know what was worse, the accent or the story. Okay, I'll say it again in my normal accent so we all completely get it. Fuck off, Pete. Just no, okay?
This is why I just love you so much.
I'm saying it again, this in my normal CC accent. Perfect guy, terrible penis, 6 dates in, ditch him or keep him.
Yeah, or if you listen to the one before, ditch or keep.
Ditch or keep.
Yes. So perfect guy, terrible penis, 6 dates in, ditch or keep. Listen, it's a contradiction for a star. He's not the perfect guy, is he, if he's got a terrible penis?
No one's perfect, but yeah.
And also, it depends what you're after. Are you after dick or love? And also, when it says terrible penis, the problem with ones like this for us is that how terrible are we talking?
Terrible,
are we talking terrible because it's small? Terrible
size,
because it's...
The look?
The look or the smell?
Oh, didn't even think of that. Oh, yeah. Katie.
The taste? That's what's fine. But if every other area of his body, mind, and soul is perfect, I mean,
no.
So
you just put smell and taste in there as well. Fuck off.
No, okay.
No, no. Or communicate and say, babe, can you wash a bit better?
I
feel like your penis smells. I feel like you need to wash more.
Cece, I feel like you have now got you've got in your head is the fact that he's dick
smelly.
Stinks.
Yeah.
That's you've completely forgotten that it might just be because it's small or ugly looking. You're ugly. Just thinking it tastes and smells.
Okay,
like
shall I say from a female's point of view? Oh, so the look we could probably get away with. Like fuck it.
Switch the lights off.
Yeah, there's things you can do.
Size.
If it is like if it doesn't fit you, then I feel like I wouldn't be satisfied because
okay.
I've got to have sex with this person for 20 years.
Okay, I'm just going to point out that provided that it is in working order, there are ways to combat this with an amazing array of foreplay skills. This is not speaking for someone who has This is not ideal. I mean, I don't know because I'm not a woman, but presumably, I mean, I don't know what she's saying. If it does a job, I mean, no, she said terrible, which means it's terrible. It's not just
for you, right? You can't always just say to, you know, the guy has got a penis that's too small. Like, it's how, you know, there's
my mate's got a huge
that women can do to make things feel better for them. So what I'm trying to say is you can't always blame it on the guy. It's anatomy. If your anatomy does not fit their anatomy or their anatomy does not fit your anatomy, then the guy is not perfect.
That's kind of what I was trying to get at.
I know, me too, just politely.
Yeah, I was just trying to do it in a nice way. There might be things that you can work on if it is, I mean, I don't know. If it is down to taste and smell, then fucking get rid of him. Because, I mean, that's just,
Yeah.
But you are also only 6 dates in, so you don't know is that perfect. So personally, if you really want an answer from me, I would say ditch. Because if he was that perfect and you liked him that much, then terrible penis wouldn't be as big a problem as what it seems to be where you're considering not being with him. Because you'd be able to look past that based on the fact that he's the perfect guy. But the fact you can't look past that means that he's not the perfect guy. You are only 6 dates in. Go and find better dick.
I second that.
Katie, hope we've helped.
Is that it?
I think that's it for this week.
Is there anything, Pete, whilst we're here, is there anything that you would like to communicate? Anything you want to get off your chest?
There is, actually. There was something I would like to communicate with you and everyone else. And that is that you can share your stories with us.
Good, I'm glad you said that. I was waiting for that. But where? This is the most important. Communicate where you can find us.
You can share your stories and we'd love to hear about them. And you can do that by emailing the date.
You're going to cry then. Go on. You should share your stories.
You can share your stories with us and we love hearing about them. And you can do that by sending them to us at thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. You can also keep up with everything that we do and our producer makes some really funny memes of Cece and I being fucking idiots, which we seem to do every week. It must be an actually really easy job for her because we are constantly fucking helmets.
Because she has to edit around it.
It's very hard to edit the show, but it's very easy to pick out the bad bits. That's basically what happens. But you can do that on Instagram, which is thedating_show, which is the home, the HQ, the hub of everything to do with the dating show with Cece and I. Cece, yes. It's been an absolute pleasure. I absolutely love you. You are my favourite person in the entire world. This week, we haven't sang that much.
Oh, my God.
What have you got on one of your hands?
I knew you would say that, so I'm going to break into a song. I've got half a jumper on and half a jumper off. On, off, on, off. I was cold, but I couldn't be bothered to put it over my head.
But you were cold on just the left side of your body.
Can we go now? Just ignore me.
I just want to take you around with me everywhere. Just everywhere I go. Don't ever leave me.
Okay. I was speak. I'd like to go now. Please end the show, Pete, because I don't make me sit here for any longer feeling like more of a twat than I do.
Ah, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one.
Words, yeah.
You have been the one for me.
Ta-da.